we have not looked at Thomas in the series of In My Father's House. We looked at Thomas' response to Jesus. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And then comes this great confession from our Lord. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is going to go to the Father. That's where he's going. And he himself is the way to the Father. And no man can come to the Father but by him. I cannot tell you how intolerant these words are to you. Now to go to the Father is the hope of the church. It was different from the Jewish expectation of the kingdom of the Messiah that he would set up on earth, that they had looked forward to and would enjoy, a kingdom which Christ himself would rule and is yet to come. But because he knew he had now been rejected by the Jewish nation, and the 70th week of Daniel would be postponed, and the church would be born just over 50 days from here, he would be going to the Father's house until the Jewish people would be prepared for the long promised kingdom. The day will come when the Jewish people will rise. It will be incredibly dark before it happens, but it will happen together. And so he said to his disciples, where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I would read it like this. I am the way which leads to God the Father. I am the truth which reveals God the Father. And I am the life which comes from God the Father. And so it is in response to Thomas' question that Jesus gives verse 6. And here is his great confession. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And this morning, we want to look at this. And I want to tell you this morning, that I'll do this as a tremendous that privilege. To share truth for you from the Father. This is very important verse. And it is an honor for me to share the truth of it, no matter how dimly it is used in the world. I am the way. These are the words we want to look at this morning. Here we are. Just what did Jesus mean when he said, I am the way? I understand that the early Christians were known as the people of the way. They were the people of the way. In Acts 9, Saul, who would become Paul, desired the high priest's letter, and I quote, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem, the people of the way. He knew them as people of this way, Paul later said, and I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, Acts 22:4. And when Paul, now a man of the way himself, said to Felix, but this I confess unto you, that after the way, which they call heresy, the Jews, so worship I God, the God of my fathers, reading all things which are written in the law and the prophets. You are now a man of the way himself. Acts 18:25-26. He said of Apollos, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God for purposes. And last, when Paul was in Philippi, a certain girl possessed with a demon followed Paul and those with him and tried saying, These are men of the servants of the Most High God, which show to us the way of salvation. And Jesus said to Thomas, I am the believe. You cannot get to the Father unless you come by me. What he is saying is that he is the only way. I want to ask you this morning, how many of you believe Jesus is the only way? When I ask you, I will be disappointed if you didn't tell me. And if you do, but you may still put me in. What he is saying is that he is the only way. And let me tell you, say as well, that probably no words could be viewed as more intolerant than all the Bible that John 14 says. I am the way. There is no other way. You cannot come to God except by me. I am the only way. And I ask you this morning, do you believe that? Let me just quote a last night I read from Ray Young, and I wrote it out here. In his book, Things That Come in My Name, one of the most common New Age attitudes is that there are many paths to God, and that it is wrong to judge or condemn another person's path, because not all people are suited for the same one. New Agers teach that one, that each person should find the path best suited for them. You can imagine what they would think of this person this morning. Now, after the word away, the word for way is Pados, it is a path or a road. When the wise men came to see Jesus, they eventually got to Bethlehem, and when they had seen Jesus and had brought their gifts to Jesus, they returned another way, another path. They did not go back the same way they had come, for that would have led them back to Herod, and the angel had warned them not to go back that way. Scripture says there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the way of God. Proverbs 16:25. So Jesus said, I am the way. The most natural question to that is this, where is he the way to? And the verse gives answer to that. He said, I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the way to the Father. As I see this verse, it could read like this. I am the way which leads to the Father. I am the truth which calls us the Father. I am the light which comes from the Father. To get to the Father, you have to follow my path. To know the Father is so that you can get there. You have to know me. And to get to the Father, you have to have the light which I have from the Father. Without this path, without this truth, and without this life, you will never see God. The gift, the only way. Not according to today's culture, you will not find a more intolerant message than this verse. It is so very narrow-minded. It is so horribly intolerant that I am not sure how much longer we'll be able to preach this in my country. I hope you know. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That was unthinkably intolerant by today's standards. But it is only intolerant if you define tolerance as meaning one has to accept everyone else's view as true. And that is an impossibility even for the New Agers, because they cannot accept God. And so I would like to go on record as saying that those who have truly been people of the way, listen to me carefully, those in the past who have truly been people of the way have been as tolerant as any people who have ever existed to be them. Christians have been as tolerant as anybody ever has been, as you have been as tolerant as Christians are. In the message I did on tolerance, I define tolerance as this. Tolerance is to allow, endure, or put up with something we do not agree with, approve of, like, or enjoy. We put up with it. You see, if one has to agree with everyone else's viewpoint in order to be tolerant, then tolerance has become obsolete. what you agree with. Are you with me? This is a problem. And so now, what way of spiritual life has allowed those of other persuasions, has endured those of other persuasions, or put up with those of other persuasions with which they disagree more than two Christians? You tell me somebody who has done that more than two Christians. I ask you, has Catholicism been that tolerant? Can you tell me? Any wee little bit of research in your history will tell you the thousands upon thousands they did away with in the most cruel possible way. Anybody that found a more cruel way was allowed to try it on these people. Why? Because they did not agree with it. Consider Islam. How tolerant is Islam? And is Islam not as tolerant as they are forced to be? When they are not forced to be tolerant, they will kill those who do not agree with them. Are you with me? If they are just a man, it's a matter. You are talking about the radicals. No, I'm talking about the truth. The radicals will do that. The truth will do that. You say, well, I don't agree with you, well, then you haven't read the Quran, have you? Read the book. I ask you, where has true Christianity gone that they have not been tolerant of those of other persuasions? And I could name for you place after place where they have brought the teaching of Jesus as being the only way and the incredible good changes they have brought to a sin-darkened and sin-corrupted world. Catholicism, for the most part, has not done this. But true Christianity has done this, and always they tolerated those who did not accept the biblical way of life. Am I right? So Jesus is the road or path to the Father. He is the way. There is only one way. There is no other way. I ask you once more, do you believe that? Let us see what that does to the present world population. In 2010, the World Bank said there were 6,840,507,002 people in the world. It is difficult to get a real statistic, but www.adherence.com gives this list of the top 22 religions that have the most adherence. Number one, Christianity, 2.1 billion, I'll be telling that later. Number two, Islam, 1.5 billion. Number three, secular, non-religious, agnostic, atheist, 1.1 billion. Number four, Hinduism, 900 million. Number five, Chinese traditional religion, 394 million. Number six, Buddhism, 376 million. Number seven, China indigenous, 300 million. Number eight, African traditional and diasporic, 100 million. Number nine, Sikhism, 23 million. Number 10, UK, 19 million. Number 11, Spiritism, 15 million. Number 12, Judaism, 14 million. Erica, Judaism, 14 million. 13, Baha'i, 7 million. 14, Jainism, 4.2 million. 15, Shinto, 4 million. 16, Tao Dai, 4 million. 17, Zoroastrianism, 2.6 million. Number 18, Panjikyo, 2 million. Number 19, Neo-Paganism, 1 million. Number 20, Unitarian Universalism, 800,000. 21, number 21, Rastafarianism, 600,000. Number 22, Scientology, 500,000. In all of what I say next, let me say I am not including innocent children. I am not including those who convert. Anybody as a Catholic who converts is no longer Catholic. This is a very negative message in the church, all over the evangelical. Anybody that is Catholic will come out of the Catholic. You can read the confession of faith. So I'm not talking about those who convert. So let me take that in reverse now. Scientology has 500,000. Do you believe they're all lost? choosing. How many of you here are alive? I thought you said before. Unitarianism, 600,000 are they all lost? Unitarianism, universalism, 800,000 are they all lost? Do you think they're all lost? Neo-paganism, 1 million, do you think they're all lost? And ritual, 2 million, do you think they're all lost? Zoroastrianism, 2.6 million, do you think they're all lost? Taoism, 4 million, are they all lost? Shinto, 4 million, are they all lost? Jainism, 4.2 million, are they all lost? We are Baha'i has 10 million, are they all lost? Judaism has 14 million, are they all lost? By the way, Judaism doesn't believe that Jesus is the only way, the Son of God. Spiritism has 15 million, are they all lost? UK, this is the official state religion of North Korea, 19 million, are they all lost? Listen, they are all lost. Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. People in 23 million, do you think they're all lost? African traditional and God's force is 100 million. Do you think they are all lost? China indigenous, 300 million. Buddhism, 376 million. Chinese traditional religion, 394 million. Do you think they're all lost? If you're fucking up, you're not really young people. It's really worse. Now, I found numbers on the internet regarding how many people there are in the world and how many profess to be Christians. I want to give you some stats, but the numbers were too big for me. I have some geniuses in my family. They know numbers that are far bigger than mine, so they calculated this for me. And when they agreed, I thought I could talk that. So they took the numbers and gave it to me this morning. The world population is 6,840,507,000. 2.1 billion are called Christians. Our previous staff said that of 6.8 billion, 2.1 billion are Christians. But of that 2.1 billion, almost 1.18 billion are Catholics. So now we're down to 920 million. According to the staff I gave, included in that 2.1 billion are all the cults, AWs, Mormons, etc., etc. How many could be the cults in the system? Well, I'd be very conservative, give Christians a very high number, and say we'll subtract one quarter. A good estimate. So you have to subtract 25%. Now we're down to 690 million. So we are now left with 690 million who claim to be Christians after the Catholics and cults are subtracted from the original 2.1 billion. But now we have another problem. Jesus said that not anyone who said Lord, Lord was truly Christian. Is that correct? Matter of fact, he said many of them aren't. Is that correct? Recently, by the way, we have to subtract this number left too. You can tell me what number you think we should subtract from those that we have left. Recently, in the Friday Church News, put out by David Cloud, was an internet article called the Council Warns that false conversions are suicide for churches. False conversions are suicide for churches. He quotes Beaver, the senior pastor of Capitol Hill Baptist Church, who said, and I quote, thousands, if not millions, of members sitting in American schools aren't really born again. That's a question. Our community would be viewed as pretty well 100% that number of people. So you can tell me. Would you say it was higher than 25%? Or do you? struggle on our own is not just the problem I am pointing to is not just that of the occasional hypocrite lost in their own unrepentant state, we were saying. I'm talking about systems which seem to produce false converts so much that it's not just one, but whole congregations like that of Israel of old are typified and characterized not by holiness but by sin. So let us subtract a very conservative number. I do not think it could be this, that it's only 25%, let's say 25% of those who claim to be Christians who are. That leaves us with 517. A huge number. You know what the focus were down to? Now let me read a few scriptures that support this matter. Luke 10:2. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send the laborers into his harvest. So if the laborers are few, that already tells us something, doesn't it? Not nearly all the people they labor with. Okay. Then in Matthew 22:14, Jesus said, "For many are called, but all those that they reach, only a few. They reach a few and alone, only a few. So if the laborers are few and they call many, but few are chosen, that same but a few." Then in Matthew 7:13-14, a passage that was read for us earlier, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." And last, Luke 13:23-24, "Then one said to him, 'Lord, are there few who are saved?' And he said to them, 45 to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not." The Bible agrees with this. But there is some good news. I want to commend our librarian for our library. I want to commend you for the book Operation World in our library, for none have signed it out yet, including myself. There's a reason for that. First, it is a great book, and second, it's just a prayer. This spot on every country in the world, in the midst of the rapid decline in true evangelicalism in North America by the seeker-friendly movement, and now a much more threatening movement, the emerging church movement, there is good news in other parts of the world. It is estimated, this book said, that in 1960, 50 years ago, some of us remember, 2.9% of the world population was Catholic. In 2010, the percentage was up to 7.9, according to them, almost at 7.6 for our watch. That's very encouraging. Very encouraging. Something is happening in the world today. There is one more bit of good news for Christians according to the book Operation World. With regard to unreached people groups, you know, people who have never heard, with regard to unreached people groups, this book said in many cases, people with no known believers 10 or 20 years ago now have churches within them, some of them thriving, growing churches now involve themselves in the Great Commission. 10 or 20 years ago, you would have seen one person now, about 5 churches that are 10 years old. up. So, in places where a few years ago there were none there, I don't know, probably. Another bit of good news is that prayer efforts are expanding by believers around the world. Anybody who comes to Wednesday night prayer meeting knows how the church is praying. I am wondering for our prayer meeting next year if we couldn't expand our present prayer meeting next year to having one section just praying for various countries of the world. And we need one group that prays consistently, strictly for the Christian church. Though the number of true Christians is small, it is on the move all over the world. That is encouraging. In by far the majority of countries, there are evangelicals in almost every strata of life. All we need to pray for our world. You know what the Lord said? The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are. And why are they few? Why? Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Well, I think it's okay if we don't pray, it's not going to be done. Do you think it's okay? Oh, if there's something that needs to go here, it is the prayer. Let me give you some stats from our own prayer meeting last year. We had an average, I want you to take a look around. We had an average, how many adults did we get? We had an average of 14 adults. Now, there were more that involved in other parts, but in the adult service. We had an average of 12 in the youth group, which has gone down considerably, it was much higher than the adult. Then we had an average of about 24 children. We didn't exactly count it yesterday, or 24 in the children's prayer meeting, which is the right spot in our church. With 2 adults in that group and 2 adults in the youth group, for a total of 42 average of children. Maybe I should encourage those who are in house church and others who do these services to start a prayer. We are instructing Jesus as the only way. You know, a while ago we were discussing the quote my son said there. If a person were to leave the Christian faith, where would he go? Where would he go? That can be there to come to the house of God in heaven. In the course, I have taught a number of times called General Biblical Instruction, which deals with how we got the Bible. I begin the course with this paragraph. This is the start. Try to think of life for a moment as to how it would be without the Bible. No divine direction in life. No personal relationship with God. As Paul describes us before salvation, having no hope and without God in the world. That's how it was with the great deep thinkers in the past. And the following is a discussion of Socrates with some of his students regarding immortality. You know, these were men who had learned, they thought, all of us learned, they just wanted some new information. Anybody with new information, they wanted to listen to you. It didn't matter what it was, well, it was new, they wanted to know. They knew the rest. And as they were conversing, in the course of the conversation, one of them, Senior, made the following statement. I think a man's duty is one of two things, either to be taught or to find out where truth is. That's our next subject. Where truth is, or to be gone. At least to take the best possible human doctrine, the hardest to be true, and to ride on this like a raft over the waters of life and take the risk. Unless he could have a more seaworthy vessel to carry him safely and with less danger. Some divine doctrine, which Jala translates as some word of God, to bring you. I think the best you can do. Find the best doctor, the hardest to get home, and then close your eyes right there and get out of the home. Unless you can have some more sure word. And I want to tell you this one. Here it is. If we were to leave, where would we go? And I'm telling you this morning, we have a more sure word to see where you vessel on every hand available on sermon audio from this church. The message called 10 Truths of the Bible, the Word of God. Many people tell me 10 Truths of the Bible, the Word of God. That is absolutely wrong. You can't say that there are 10 of those in the message. We have a seaworthy vessel to give us divine doctrine that will bring us safely to God. It is the Word of God. And in this Word of God, is this word, I am the way. No other way. You want to get God's honor? Don't take away. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. Please listen to John chapter 6 for a moment. We're going to read verses 66 to 68. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life." What an opportunity to be God. We're saved. Now I want to briefly explain the way to the Father as I understand it from Scripture. In the doctrine of salvation, there are numerous smaller unical doctrines, such as election, predestination, calling, and sanctification, etc. And of all those smaller unical doctrines, there is one that is most crucial from man's point of view in being saved, and that is the doctrine of conversion. To understand Jesus as the only way, we must get this doctrine right, or we won't be here. Let me say here only this, that the doctrine of conversion means to turn. The Bible tells us in no uncertain terms that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is not unbelief that it is the cause, our primary cause of our being on the way to hell. It is sin. Then comes belief also to deal with that. If we have not sinned, we would not be on the way to hell. It is sin that must be dealt with. Sin is the primary problem we have been coming to this morning. Until we recognize that we are sinners and that we are on the road to hell, we will never get saved. It won't happen. Sin is the problem. So it is sin that calls for conversion. Now, conversion means to turn, and within this doctrine of conversion are two more smaller units. We have some pastoral students, they could come and tell me, what are they? Conversion. Faith and repentance. There are two doctrines within. We went through this in our class a while ago, faith and repentance. And before we convert, we must be given the message that Jesus died for my sins, and in order for my sins to be forgiven, I must return and I must believe in Him. Do you agree with me this morning? These two are essential, repentance and faith. To whom I must confess my sin and my faithfulness to Him, so when we turn, we must first turn away from sin, that is repentance, then we turn to Christ. That is the faith part, and the two together are conversion. When we have repented, we now believe His word that He has forgiven us on the basis of that repentance and our faith in Him. You know what many people tell me? They tell me that it's not that simple. It's not that simple to want to believe. Let me ask you this morning, is it simple to believe? I want to ask you something this morning. Do you have sins in the past year from a being that you're getting? That's a different world. As a Christian, when we confess, does He forgive? Now we believe we're forgiven. Is that right? That's faith. You walk around grabbing a bunch of sins, you have an exercise faith in this area. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? We do our part, He will do His part. then when I have done that, according to the Bible, when I have confessed my sins and I thank Him for having forgiven me my sins, then I where I go, you know, and the way you know, as Thomas said, Lord, you do not know where you're going. How can you know the way? Jesus answered to that one, I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. He also said that the way to death is broad. Oh, I want to tell you what kind of argument people can put up and say, I'm a Christian and I'm so okay. Jesus said that the way to death is broad and the way to life is narrow and difficult. Are you on a path to life? According to the present statistics, 5 to 7% of every 100 could be. Let me assure you here. If you are on the narrow road, you are on a difficult path. But as I go along life's way and as I study the Bible, more and more I am learning a little of what God did for one person who comes in. I know what it's like to be a dad and to see children who do well. I know what it does here. I'm learning what it does to God. This morning, I thought of it could be a challenge for salvation, but this morning I want to challenge the faith. I want to challenge the faith. If you are faith, you have faith. You will rub shoulders and touch people that some of the rest of us here. A songwriter who got saved on his deathbed, and what did he do? What he wrote to the Father, not bring you to this, that's the path God has given to us.